Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Friday's update, taking you through what's been happening news-wise on the island today. And coming up before 5.30, in the past couple of hours, the island's Attorney General has declined an application for a new inquest into the Summerland fire disaster. We'll bring you the full details on that in a few minutes. Also tonight, there's been a small increase in public service headcount over the past 3 months. That's according to the latest workforce report from government. We'll have all the details on that. There's some good news about the overall health of the island's rivers and streams, and just 10 days, can you believe it, before TT 2025, we hear from one of the event's top riders about his plans for the year. All that, the traffic and the travel as well, and you can always text us, it's 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of today's main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
The Isle of Man's Attorney General has declined an application for fresh inquests into the 1973 Summerland fire disaster, which killed 50 people in Douglas. The request, submitted in March by human rights firm Phoenix Law on behalf of the Justice for Summerland campaign group, argued that the original inquests were insufficient and presented what it described as substantial new evidence. However, in a statement issued this afternoon, Attorney General Walter Wannenberg confirmed he will not be directing any new inquests. The mountain road is currently closed between Ramsey and the bungalow as police deal with a road traffic collision there. It's expected to remain shut until approximately 7 o'clock. The Education Minister has asked not to answer a written Tynwald question on the total cost of an external review of the island's schools, citing it as being contrary to the public interest. ETIO was commissioned to produce three publications between October 2023 and July 2026. Now, Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper has asked for the total cost of that work. And with many water companies in the UK warning of potential shortages as a result of the current spell of dry weather, Manx Utilities says its reservoirs are still 86% full. The figure is slightly down on what is normally expected for mid-May, but not of immediate concern. Gareth Patchett is the island's head of water.
We just try to encourage sensible use, really. We're not saying don't water your gardens yet or anything like that. No sign of a horseback ban on the horizon, that's for sure.
Further afield, a man who stabbed a mum to death in front of her daughter at the Notting Hill Carnival last year has been jailed for life. Cher Maximen's family say justice has been served after a judge ordered her killer to spend at least 29 years behind bars. A Turkish official says the Ukrainian and Russian delegations holding peace talks in Istanbul have agreed to meet again to discuss details of a possible ceasefire. And parts of the UK could enjoy warmer weather than Ibiza this weekend. Forecasters predict western parts of England could experience highs of 25 degrees Celsius. They're your headlines. I'll be back with your news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Well, we're not going to quite reach that with the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing, but we're not far off. Dry, plenty of sunshine to end today. Clear skies overnight. Light northerly winds, they'll freshen from the northeast overnight, especially in the north of the island. Minimum temperatures will be around 8. There will be the chance of some patchy cloud around through tomorrow morning, but otherwise it will be dry with sunny intervals, and that cloud will clear during the afternoon, so it'll be really sunny. Light to moderate northeast winds, top temperatures tomorrow 18, so nearly Ibiza. It's going to stay fine and settled on Sunday, lengthy sunny periods. I don't want to tell you about Monday. Cloud. Colder. But it's fine. It'll be fine. Sunset this evening, 16 minutes past 9. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 12 minutes past 5.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Pagode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Pagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to Update. It's exactly 5 past 5. The Attorney General has rejected a request for fresh inquests into the Summerland fire, which killed 50 people in Douglas in 1973. This news came through late this afternoon. Christian is with me now. Christian, would you just tell us, first of all, what was behind this application?
Yes, Beth. Well, the request came from Phoenix Law on behalf of the Justice for Summerland's campaign group. They argued that the original inquests were flawed and pointed to what they described as substantial new evidence. That included advances in forensic science, concerns over the reliability of the original analysis, and public disquiet surrounding the handling of the case.
And just remind us, there were also questions raised about the scientist involved, weren't there?
Yes, the application highlighted that the forensic expert involved in the Summerland investigation was later linked to several miscarriages of justice in the UK, including the Birmingham Six and Judith Ward cases. So Phoenix Law felt that, taken together, those concerns were justified in reopening the inquest.
But we have this decision now. What can you tell us about why the Attorney General has refused that request?
So Walter Wannenberg is the Attorney General, and he said that he carefully considered the application against the legal criteria under Section 6 of the Coroner's of Inquest Act. And in essence, that act basically gives the AG power to instruct the coroner to carry out a new inquest, even if one has already been held before. But that will only be done if the AG believes that someone has died, either on the Isle of Man or elsewhere, in circumstances where, in their view, it would be appropriate or in the public interest to do so. He concluded that the 1974 Summerlands Commission report was already a thorough and proportionate investigation that clearly established how the fire spread and who was responsible. His office said the application didn't contain any new evidence that materially challenged those findings, and that speculation alone wasn't enough to justify a new inquest.
Well, as you would expect, we have contacted a number of people to get a response to this. Have we heard from anyone yet?
No, but we have contacted the Justice for Summerland group, naturally. We've also been in touch with the MP leading the charge in Westminster and also the government here for further comment. In the last few minutes, though, we have had a response from the Justice for Summerland's group, who've posted on Facebook, and I'll just read it verbatim for you. It says, "We are calling into question the Attorney General's deplorable decision to refuse a new inquest into the Summerland fire disaster, and we will be challenging this before the High Court." It continues saying, in his letter outlining his reasons, he acknowledged a list of over 30 inadequacies and failings, yet he himself fails to consider this worth of reinvestigation. "We would like to make it very clear that those we believe to be culpable," it says, "for a fire of this magnitude and devastation are those responsible for the design, construction and management of an unsafe leisure complex." It continues to say he also seems to believe that the campaign is the first to challenge the findings of the original inquest, when we know that bereaved families and others affected have been asking those questions since 1974. The Isle of Man government has had the chance to right this miscarriage of justice, it adds. However, the Attorney General has made the disgraceful decision not to do so. It concludes by saying, "Our pursuit for justice continues." And we also know that there are growing calls from within Westminster too. MPs are beginning to put the pressure on, so there'll almost certainly be more to come for now, but that's where we're up to.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. And as ever, you can find out more on our website, manxradio.com. Coming up to 9 minutes past five, recruitment efforts towards critical frontline services are said to be behind a small increase in public sector headcount in recent months. However, in what is the second of government's quarterly workforce reports, the Chief Minister Alfred Cannon says he's encouraged to see other departments reduce in size. Lewis has the details.
Since January, the overall number of full-time equivalents has increased by just over 40. Including the core departments and Manx Care, the number of FTEs in the public service now stands at 7,842.3. Of the new recruits over the past 3 months, there are 6 additional school staff and 17 trainee police officers. Manx Care recruited 2 additional nurses for cardiac and stroke rehabilitation services, 20 residential support workers converting from a casual/bank basis, 4 social care workers and 3 support workers. Meanwhile, 16 port security staff were transferred to the Department of Home Affairs as part of government's Securing Our Island strategy. They moved from the Department of Infrastructure, which overall reduced by 22.92 in the quarter. Over the same period, the number of people working in Treasury, the Department for Enterprise and the Department for Environment, Food and Agriculture have dropped. As per government's recruitment control framework introduced in January this year, 130 job roles have been placed under review. Chief Minister Alfred Cannon says this government has committed to publishing workforce figures each quarter to ensure that changes in the size and shape of the public service are transparent and subject to scrutiny. I note, he says, that there's been a small increase in the total public service headcount over the last 3 months. I'm encouraged, however, that this is driven by investment into our critical frontline services to ensure they are adequately staffed.
Lewis, with that report there, you can find out more as ever on that public service workforce report on manxradio.com. And also the Chief Minister will be joining us live to talk about this on Breakfast on Monday. 11 minutes past five. An Onchan MHK has criticised a research paper from the Department of Education, Sport and Culture, which rules out creating a standalone Manx University, describing the report as weak. Instead, the department says it'll continue looking at expanding higher education through the University College Isle of Man. But Julie Edge MHK, a former education minister, we should say, says she only recently became aware of this paper and believes the lack of a formal announcement suggests the department isn't confident in its findings. She suggests there is a lack of long-term vision.
There's no vision for that UCM site. Clearly, we had a separate independent review done into the funding of schools, and there's a school very close by that's got land in that, and I feel that it's not been looked at strategically for education and its future on the island. There's lots of gaps and not enough innovative thinking for a hybrid model of education going forward.
And given that around 50% of students pursue university education off-island, what do you think needs to be done to make returning to the islands more appealing?
I think the Isle of Man's got a significant opportunity here to look at how we can do these, as I said, hybrid models, and people could be actually working, so they could be learning whilst they're earning, which I've always said. It actually sounds to me like the higher education offering and trying to get international students seems to be more important to get international students here than actually looking at what we need for our own.
That is Julie Edge MHK. Apologies for the slightly dicey audio there. But the Department of Education, Sport and Culture in response maintains that further developing UCM is the most logical and practical option for the island. Education Minister Daphne Kane talked to us before we spoke to Ms Edge incidentally, but admitted then that the department does need to do more.
The development of UCM to suit the needs of the students and the future generations that we have coming up is the position that we're in at the moment as the most logical, practical fit for the Isle of Man.
So around 750 university students studying, how many are roughly returning at the moment?
I'm not sure, no. There are statistics, and I said the report is out. We've got to get better at following up. That's one of the recommendations that's come out of Public Accounts Committee. We've got to find a better way of keeping in contact with our students and finding out those that are interested in coming back, those that are returning and those that aren't, and perhaps by careful analysis of the reasons for that can inform the future policies of how we incentivise perhaps those who wish to return to have a positive experience but also to find the careers that they want for their future.
That was the Education Minister Daphne Kane talking to Oliver Sykes there. We're going to stay with her because the Education Minister has asked not to answer a written Timwell question on the total cost of an external review of the island schools. Now, Daphne Kane has made this request to the President, as Amy reports.
ETIO has been commissioned to produce three publications between October 2023 and July 2026. The first was published last month and offered a number of recommendations for improvement in all age groups. At the time, Daphne Kane said the report aimed to look at the education system as a whole rather than naming any specific schools. The first schools were assessed in January 2024, which were St Mary's RC, Peel Clothworkers, Cueg, Castle Rushen and QE2. Now, Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper has asked what the total cost is of that validation undertaken by ETIO. However, the Clerk of Tynwald says an application to decline to answer the question is currently being considered by the President. The Minister has cited it as being contrary to the public interest.
Amy reporting there. You're listening to Update. It's just coming up to 5:15.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, the main thing to look out for on the roads is that closure on the mountain road. It's from the Bungalow to Leany Road and it's thought it will be shut until around 7pm. There was an RTC there roughly around 3 hours or so ago. The constabulary say they will issue a further update in due course, but that part of the mountain road is still shut at the moment. All okay down at the airport and at the steam packet as well. Great day for a sailing. The Manxman due in just around 6:10. The Mananin from Liverpool in at 6:15, and then the Mananin will be heading out again at 7:15, and the Manxman to Heysham at 7:45.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
It's 16 minutes past five. Let's have some good news now, shall we? With underperforming water companies in the UK under fire for failing to prevent the pollution of the nation's rivers and streams, it's a different story here on the Isle of Man, where watercourses have been found to generally be in good health. Simon has the details for us.
Information provided to Manx Radio by DEFA's Environmental Protection Unit show that 98% of monitored sites achieved an excellent or good chemical classification based on biochemical oxygen demand, dissolved oxygen and ammonia. Water samples are routinely collected from 86 locations across the island and assessed against the standards set out in the Water Pollution Standards and Objective Scheme 2020, which aligns with UK and EU criteria. The latest test results show that for nutrients, 98% of sites met excellent or good classifications for phosphate and 86% for nitrate. All 17 sites that are surveyed for heavy metals, including copper, manganese, nickel and iron, met expected standards. 83% of them passed for dissolved cadmium. However, dissolved zinc exceeded the standard at 80% of sites, largely due to historic mining activity. The DEFA team also assesses biological health through macroinvertebrate sampling at 31 sites, conducted each autumn and spring.
Simon Richardson reporting there. It's 17 minutes past five. Let's go back to the issue of politics now, because in this age of social media and AI, where do you think you even start getting young people involved in politics? I know it's something that has been long debated and it's not just an issue here on the Isle of Man, but we have tried to make moves here to encourage younger people to be engaged with politics. Obviously, we have the 16 voting age over here. But could the solution actually be as simple as just talking to them? Well, it's what some of the members of Tynwald's Youth Select Committee think. They're an incredible bunch of people, so articulate. And I think there's some real hope for the future here. We've got Rio Zarman, Scarlett Clegg and Alex Cowley.
The simple answer is just by politicians actually speaking to and listening to younger people. I mean, many experiences I've encountered when we were undertaking our oral evidence last year, we were speaking to some ministers about how they'd gone about speaking to people our age to do with housing, and they'd admitted it's something that they hadn't thought of before, like they hadn't spoken to the young people, so it's quite hard for them to gauge an idea of what they believe we'd want. And even on like a local authority level, if you speak to them, they haven't really considered the view of a young person. I think it's so easy to miss out on that view, especially when the demographic in politics is an older generation than us. And so by simply speaking to us and listening, it's such an easy way to engage. And the more young people that engage in politics, is the more likely that other people will also want to be involved.
I feel like if that is improved upon, more younger people will start to do the same too, because on one hand, yes, politicians need to engage more with the younger people, but the younger people need to be more aware. So if more younger people start voting, the more politicians will listen to younger people of their demographic that's voting for them. So it's a bit 50-50, but committees like this that actually get young people involved are starting to get more young people in politics, so we are improving, I think.
If you're passionate about something going on in your local community, then just because you're young doesn't mean that you can't reach out to your MHK, you can't reach out to your commissioners. So just having the incentive to do that, you don't think that you're making a difference, but if your thoughts are heard by them, then you're going to have more chance of making a difference.
Absolutely brilliant. So inspiring to hear these people who are at such a young age engaged in politics. You can find out much more about that in a newscast, which you can find at manxradio.com. It's well worth listening to the full interview with those members of the Tynwald Youth Select Committee. Coming coming up to 20 past five, where we can't escape talking about TT. 10 days to go. And after several weeks of uncertainty, the former TT winner James Hillier has confirmed his plans for the 1000cc races at this year's Racing Fortnight. He'll be racing on a Honda Fireblade provided by the owner of his previous team, WTF Racing. And he's told us how hectic it's really been to get this in place over the past month.
It's certainly opened my eyes a little bit with the workload and logistics and everything that needs to go on behind the scenes. But maybe I needed that a little bit just to sort of make me realise what does go on, you know. But it's obviously wasn't ideal, but it's just a case of rolling your sleeves up and getting on with what was required to make the job happen. And yeah, I'm excited. You know, ultimately, now the way it's worked out, Alan Gardner's kindly supported me still with the bikes and some infrastructure. And Muckoff stepping up with title sponsor have helped to keep the bankroll going and get things paid for, which is probably the harder part of racing and the frustrating part of racing. But you know, we're nearer the time now that I can just knuckle down and concentrate and enjoy riding the bike.
Of course, you went to the Northwest. You did put out on a social media post that you wanted to be there, just financially it wasn't possible. So what kind of preparations can you do between now and the TT with not much time to go?
Watch YouTube laps. That's about as close as I can get to riding a motorbike at the moment. I've just been watching onboards and trying to stay fairly fit. And you know, I feel good in my headspace. I feel relaxed and almost ready.
With all that we've spoken about and all the changes you've had to go over the last few months, what would you class as a successful TT this year, do you think?
I'll go as I always do and just do my outright best, but I'll be pretty disappointed if I don't pull into that winner's enclosure at least once. You know, that's my goal. I want to win, but competition's fierce and it's certainly not easy. They don't come too easily, TT wins. They never have and they never will. But I just think I've got good machinery. I've got the right people around me. So, you know, if we can have a good practice week, keep the fingers crossed, we get some good weather for this TT and see what we can do. But I know it won't be through lack of effort. We will see what we can achieve.
That is James Hillier, who was talking to Rob there. Separately, he'll be contesting the Supersport class with the Bournemouth Kawasaki team. You can hear the full interview with James Hillier as a sportscast at manxradio.com. 22 minutes past five. Well, tomorrow marks the beginning of Praying the Keels Week 2025. And keels were early Christian chapels made of earth and stone, very rarely bigger than 3 by 5 metres. And there may have been as many as 250 across the Isle of Man. Well, over the next week, there will be a number of pilgrimages. There'll be lots of walks to the sites, from morning strolls to evening talks.
This is our 20th year, and credit should go to Bishop Graham Knowles, who was our bishop in 2006. And he said, look, you've got these wonderful ancient chapels here called keels, and let's do something to use them, to visit them, to pray in them, to be silent in them, to, in a sense, reclaim them. And so under his initiative, you know, it takes a come over to do these things sometimes, we gathered together a small group. And so far, with God's grace, it has stood the test of time. And here we are today. And I think it can appeal to people of all churchmanships, but people who are maybe from outside the church, who've been let down by the church, who might sort of think, okay, this sounds interesting. It's a gentle way in to explore again. It's run by a small team, ecumenical, from different traditions. For everybody, it's really just a chance to meet other people, to relax in the Manx countryside and maybe put our worries to one side and to get out in the glory of creation. One thing we do on one or two keels walks is just walking a mile or so in silence, you know, and that heightens our awareness of creation all around.
That was Phil Crane, who was speaking to Judith at your service at the weekend. It is a lovely event. There are so many different walks, and this theme this year is Humble Servants of God and the Ministry of the Beautiful, and it's linking to the life and work of Archibald Knox. So well worth going along, especially if the weather stays as lovely as it has been. Salutations, Rob. How are you?
Very good, thanks.
Good. Yeah, we are keeping everything crossed, aren't we, for the weather, but the long-term forecast, I'm like, I don't want to see it.
There's no certainty around it, but we say that every year, I guess, don't we?
Yeah, we'll do a little sun dance. What else is happening sport-wise?
Well, first off, two more trophies will be up for grabs this weekend in what is set to be the final action of the 24-25 Isle of Man football season. First tomorrow will be the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup final as defending champions Ramsey face Laxey in what will be a repeat of the same final 1 year ago. That'll be followed by the final of the Masters FA Cup as Colby take on Onchan on Sunday. Both fixtures are due to take place at the ball in Douglas. Well, in Saturday's Hospital Cup showdown, Ramsey will be hoping for something like a repeat of the 2-1 win they claimed over their opponents in the same contest in late May 2024. Elsewhere, the Isle of Man will once again play host to UK volleyball teams as the annual Selton Manx Invitational returns for 2025 this weekend. The tournament sees Isle of Man volleyball joined by off-island squads to take part in two full days of fixtures at the NSC in Douglas on Saturday and Sunday. Across both the men's and women's competitions, the Isle of Man will be fielding two teams. Both the male and female events will be held across both days. The women's series will feature two Manx squads along with Chester Amazons and Lynx. Meanwhile, three visiting sides, Anglesey, Chester and Dolphins, join two Isle of Man lineups in the men's tournament. Matches will be held at the NSC each day between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. with spectators welcome to use the seating area inside the NSC hall. The timetable for all the matches is available at manxradio.com. And finally, the grueling Race the Sun team endurance event returns on Ireland this weekend. Taking place throughout tomorrow, the challenge sees teams of up to 10 people look to complete a 100-mile route around the island's coast, starting at sunrise and looking to finish before the sun sets. Well, what's more, the challenge aims to raise funds for the Children's Centre, with the charity saying it can help support vital services to make a lasting difference to the lives of people the organisation helps. Well, the race will begin on Saturday on Peel Promenade at sunrise at 5:11 a.m, with those involved then having to finish the course before sunset at 9:20 p.m.
Ever thought about taking part in that one?
Do you know what? I think it would be great fun as well. And clearly, you know, it's very, very good local island cause as well. But you need some fitness for that. Yeah. Even in a team of 10, that's a long distance to cover.
I'd probably volunteer to maybe do 100 metres. I'd give it my best shot. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think I'd do that if I was, you know, feeling confident.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. He's going to hotfoot it now to the next studio, because coming up next here on Manx Radio this evening is a Friday sport preview. So he'll have all the details of what's happening sports-wise across the island. Chris Kinney will then be here with greatest hits from 6, from 9. It's Sweet and Swing with Howard. And then Ree will be with you from 10 with After Hours. And just a reminder that you can find out all the details on tonight's top stories at manxradio.com. Much more detail in the articles. And the stories are also on our social media pages as well for you to take part in the debate, and we do welcome your thoughts and comments. Whatever you're doing this weekend, have a great one, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.